Hello there, everyone.
Hi, boys and girls.
Welcome to another Story Hour program. I know you're all anxious to hear another episode about Saul and David. Uncle Dan, the last story you told about Saul and David was called The Deadly Plot. Saul seemed intent on destroying David.
That's right, Aunt Sue.
But your story ended with David and Saul together in the palace again.
Well, I'm afraid that Saul's friendship with David was short-lived. As you will see in our story today, found in 1 Samuel chapters 19 to 21, a story I call
The Sword of Goliath.
The victories of David over the enemies of Israel excited anew the praise and acclaim of the people for the shepherd youth. But this, in turn, stirred up the former bitterness of Saul against David. And while he was playing before the king, filling the palace with sweet harmony, Saul's passion overcame him, and he again hurled a javelin at David, thinking to pin the musician to the wall. But the angel of the Lord turned aside the deadly weapon, and David fled to his own house. Then Saul sent spies that they might take him.
Abner, general of the armies of Israel, to see his majesty Saul, king of Israel.
You may come forward, Abner.
Long live the king.
Have you heard yet this morning from the guards at the home of David? Have they captured him?
Yes, your majesty. And they wait in the outer chamber.
Then he wasn't really sick as he claimed to be.
Yes, he is sick, your majesty. So sick, the guard had to bring him here in his bed.
Well, he won't escape me this time. Abner, fetch my sword.
As you wish, your majesty.
Lackey, have the men bring in David.
Yes, your majesty.
Your sword, sire.
His majesty's personal guards carrying a bed upon which lies David, son of Jesse.
Set the bed down right here in front of me. David, son of Jesse, I hereby pronounce the death sentence upon you for treason. Do you hear me?
He's terribly ill, your majesty. Hasn't even moved a muscle since we left his house.
Well, he'll be worse when I finish with him. You're in my power at last, David. You will never be king. Well, aren't you going to say something? Deny that you are after my throne? Aren't you even going to uncover your face? You're not, eh? Well, I don't blame you. I'd keep my face hidden, too. All right, Abner, remove the bedclothes from David.
Yes, your majesty.
Ah! He isn't there!
Oh, there's nothing in the bed but an image made to look like a man.
Abner, did you do this?
No, your majesty.
Abner, were you aware of
it? No, your majesty. I sent the captain and a detachment of guards to get David.
Are you the captain that arrested David?
Yes, your majesty.
Did you know there was nothing in this bed but an image?
No, your majesty.
Why didn't you look under the covers before you brought the bed all the way here?
Because, your majesty, your daughter, Her Highness Michael, said that David was very sick and not to be disturbed.
So you were very careful not to even jar the bed?
Yes, your majesty.
Imbecile! So she is responsible for all this. Lackey, send a messenger for Her Highness Michael at once.
She is already here, your majesty. She came with us carefully, lovingly attending her husband. I mean the image in the bed. She is in the outer chamber, your majesty.
Lackey, have her come in at once.
Yes, your majesty.
Are you or are you not my daughter?
Of course I am, father.
I agreed to let you marry David as a plot and snare to bring about his immediate and necessary death. You knew this, didn't you?
I suspected it, father.
Then why have you deceived me thus and let my enemy go so that he has escaped?
I had to. He threatened me. He said to me, "Let me go. Why should I kill you?"
Yes, yes, I'm just sure he'd threaten you. General, I hold you personally responsible for this escape of David.
Yes, your majesty. Captain, I sent you a detachment of men to spy on David's home last evening. I know he was home when you went there.
Yes, sir. And we kept a watch for him the entire night.
Well, then what happened to him? Where is he?
He must have escaped somehow.
Yes, he escaped somehow.
Father, Do you wish me to tell you what happened to David during the time your faithful men were guarding against David's escape?
You had something to do with it, that's sure.
Well, Father, I knew that by morning, if David were still there, your spies would arrest him when he came out. So I had to effect his escape somehow, and quickly.
But he couldn't have escaped. My men were there all night watching.
Oh, yes, so they were, my dear Abner. They were even watching the high wall on the front side of the house, as well as all the entrances. I saw them. But there is a second-story window on the back side of the house. I merely let David down through that window to the ground, and he simply walked away.
Captain, did not your men go?
General, make a search for David at once. Send messengers and spies throughout all Israel. Find David!
Come in. David.
Greetings, Samuel, prophet of God.
Well, this is a surprise, David. You are coming to Ramah. May I inquire as to the occasion of this visit?
Samuel, sir, I'm a fugitive from King Saul.
Well, I'm not surprised. Since he has forsaken God, the evil spirit has controlled him. How serious is it?
His Majesty would kill me, himself, if he had the chance. And he ordered all his officers to slay me on sight.
It is serious. Well, I'll give you sanctuary, of course, but I think I'd better take you to live in the dormitory with the students in the School of the Prophets. I question whether Saul will even think to look there. Now, come along. It's not far.
Thank you.
Saul used to be such a fine young man. Why, it seems as if it were but yesterday, the day he came up the hill into Ramah. Oh, I knew right then that God had chosen him to be Israel's first king. Oh, what a change has taken place. May the results of his disobedience be a lesson to you, David, my son.
Yes, Your Grace.
Tell me, David, how do you feel about this passion of King Saul to do away with you at all costs?
Well, Samuel, I don't think I've done anything to deserve such treatment.
Well, that is another lesson which is well to learn early in life. But that is not what I meant. You know that God has chosen you to be the next king of Israel. Do you feel that it is impossible for Saul to slay you because of this? That God will protect you to that extent?
I've been thinking about that very thing, Samuel. And I believe that Saul could kill me if I did not do my part, my duty, and if I refused to be true to God.
Oh, you're a fine young man, David. May you always remain true to those convictions.
Your Majesty!
Come forward, Abner.
Long live the king! Your Majesty, David has been found.
Did you arrest him or kill him?
Neither, Your Majesty.
That was my order, remember?
Yes, Your Majesty. But David is hiding in a place where we could not get to him without your orders and permission.
There is no such place. My general can go anywhere at any time.
But there is, Your Majesty.
Where?
The School of the Prophets, under the direction of Samuel in Ramah.
I see. Well, I shall have the court scribe write a special order to Samuel. Select a special detail of guards. They shall go to Ramah and arrest David.
Yes, Your Majesty.
General Abner to see His Majesty.
Yes, 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 Abner. What is it?
Long live the king. Your Majesty, I am forced to report that David... Well, he is still free.
The guards you sent didn't arrest him?
No, Your Majesty.
What happened to them?
They seem to have forgotten their mission.
What?
I mean, they joined in the activities of the school. Some of them even began prophesying.
What's the matter with everyone? Guards don't prophesy. Only prophets prophesy. Abner, send other guards to Rhema immediately, and this time pick out men who will not join the prophets. You say, General, that the second group of guards joined the prophets too?
Yes, sir.
Send another detachment. Only this time send the most hardened soldiers you have.
Immediately, Your Majesty.
Even the third group of soldiers prophesied?
Yes, sir. It seems each time our guards enter the school of the prophets, Samuel is conducting some sort of class, and they join the group
and they prophesy,
yes.
Huh?
Shall I send more troops after David, Your Majesty?
No. Alert my personal guards and armor-bearer. I shall go to Rhema personally and slay David. No longer shall he escape my vengeance.
We approach the well of Sikyu, Your Majesty. Shall we stop and water our mounts?
Yes, Abner. And while we're here, inquire as to the whereabouts of Samuel.
Whoa there! Step aside! Make way for His Majesty, King of all Israel!
Great monarch of all Israel!
You, come here.
Me, sir?
Yes, you. Oh. Do you know Samuel, the prophet?
Very well, sir.
Do you know where he is right now?
Yes, sir.
Well, where is he?
Well, he's at the school of the prophets, sir. This time of day, he teaches a class of young prophets.
Is David with him?
David, sir?
David, the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite.
Oh, David. Yes, he's there with Samuel, I think.
Thank you.
As prophets, you must not only know the word of God and the history of God's people, but you must also obey God and His precepts. Not only must you teach the people, but you will also be an example to them.
Samuel, Your Grace?
Yes?
King Saul and a small retinue of attendants approach Rhema.
The king?
I was at the well and heard the king inquire after you and David.
Thank you. His Majesty, King Saul, enters Rhema on an evil mission to slay our friend David. We must prevent this. I shall go outside and stand awaiting the arrival of King Saul. You, my students, shall be grouped around me. The Spirit of God shall come upon you, and you shall prophesy. King Saul, as he approaches, shall prophesy too. He will even lay aside his royal robes and remain with us all day and during the evening also. Now he will seem to repent of his past life and will assure us that he is now at peace with David. But we cannot put much confidence in the king's repentance.
And Saul prophesied before Samuel and the people. And the people said to one another, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" Then were the tidings of Saul's repentance spread throughout Israel. Meanwhile, David used this opportunity to talk to his friend Jonathan. And he said unto him,
"But what have I done? What's my guilt? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?"
"Far be it, David. He doesn't seek your life. My father has repented. He's a changed man. You shall not die."
"Oh, would to God that he was truly changed. But I have no faith in his repentance, even though he claims to be at peace with me now. When he returns here to the palace, I'm afraid he'll try to kill me again."
Look, my father does nothing, either great or small, without telling me first. Do you think he would hide this from me?"
"Yes, I think he would. For he knows that I've found favor in your eyes, and he wouldn't want to grieve you. But I'm certain that there's but a step between me and death."
"If you're but a step from death now, how close were you when you went out against the Philistine giant?"
"Oh, this is no laughing matter. I must find a way to test your father, to see if he really has repented."
"Well, what do you suggest? You know that whatever you say, I will do for you."
"Yes, I know. Now, tomorrow is the feast of the new moon. Since your father has declared anew his friendship, he'll expect me to be there. If your father notices my absence and asks you about it, merely tell him that I asked of you permission to go to the celebration at my own home in Bethlehem. If your father's not angry, then you'll know that all is well. But if your father is angry, then you'll know that evil is determined by him.
That's an excellent idea, David. It certainly will determine just how my father feels about you. For 3 days, you hide. Mm-hmm. On the evening of the third day, make your way to that heap of stones over there.
Ah, I see.
Quite often, I use it as a bow and arrow practice range. Mm-hmm. You hide behind the stone heap. I shall shoot 3 arrows and then send a lad to fetch them back. Mm-hmm. If I say unto the lad that the arrows are on this side of the stone pile, you shall know that everything is all right, and it will be safe for you to come back to the palace.
I see.
But if I say to the lad that the arrows are beyond the rock pile, then shall you go away, for my father the king will be angry. And David, may the Lord God of Israel watch between you and me forever.
Oh, forever and ever, Jonathan.
This is a good celebration, Father.
Yes, it is, son. And Jonathan, my son, is everything well with you?
I guess so, Father. I do wish David could have been here.
Yes, I noticed he was absent. Where is he?
Well, Father, I gave him permission to go home. This is also the time of a great feast in Benjamin.
You gave him permission? Upon what authority? There is nothing more important than being here. I am the king. My celebrations are more important than
but
all...
But, Father, I am the crown prince, and I gave
crown
David...
Crown prince? Yes, so you are. But as long as David lives, you will never be king. You know where David is. Well, send for him immediately.
But, Father, surely you know that David has done nothing against you or the crown. Why are you so determined to slay him?
Armor-bearer, my javelin! I don't allow anyone to talk to me like that. Even the crown prince.
Look, you missed me, Father. You have no scruples at all, do you? You'd kill me, your own son, merely because I befriended David.
Traitor, get out.
I'll leave. Have no fear of that. And you'll never kill David, not if I can prevent it.
In the morning, Jonathan went out into the field to the appointment with David, and with him a little lad. And Jonathan shot 3 arrows into the air and sent the little lad to fetch them.
Lad, the arrows are they not beyond where you are? Run and see. I'm sure David heard that, and will know that my father the king is still determined to kill him. You found them. Bring them back here. Thank you, my lad. You're a fine boy. Can you carry these arrows and the bow? Oh, sure you can. Well, here, take them back to the palace. I want to remain here for a little while.
Yes, Your Highness.
Take your time. There's no hurry. If anyone asks where I am, just say that I'll be back shortly.
And as soon as the lad was gone out of sight, David arose from behind the pile of stone, and Jonathan ran to meet him. And David fell to the ground and bowed himself 3 times, and they wept bitterly with one another. The dark passion of the king cast its shadow upon the life of the young men, and their grief was too intense for expression.
Go, David, my friend. Go quickly, before my father's guards find you.
I shall miss you, Jonathan.
And I, you. But we have no time for talking, David. You must go. And may the Lord watch over you and give you peace. For we swore, both of us, in the name of the Lord, that there would be peace and love between you and me, and between my descendants and your descendants forever.
Goodbye, Jonathan. My dear friend.
Do you have an idea where you're going?
I think I will go to the high priest at Nob. It's the safest place. Besides, it's only a few miles away, and I can get there quickly. Goodbye, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Your Grace.
Yes, what is it?
Your Grace, there is someone outside who wishes to see you, and he is not a common visitor.
Oh, well, a visiting dignitary, perhaps.
David, the son of Jesse, and he travels alone, Your Grace. He has neither armor-bearer nor servant with him, and his mannerism speaks of intrigue and plotting and...
You're being awfully mysterious, but... Well, show David in immediately, and we shall solve the mystery, if such there be. Come in, David.
Thank you, Your Grace.
Is it not rather unusual for a man of your position and power to be traveling alone?
Well, I think not, Your Grace. Not in this instance, anyway.
Well, may I inquire as to your reasons for this unexpected visit?
Well, Your Grace, I'm not permitted to tell, even you, the mission upon which I've come.
I see.
The king commanded secrecy.
And what is there that I, an humble servant of God, can do for the son-in-law of his majesty, the king?
Well, I need food, Your Grace. Give me 5 loaves of bread, or whatever is here.
Oh, I'm sorry, David, sir, but the only bread we have at the moment is hallowed bread. No common bread at all.
Well, give me the holy bread, then. I must have food for strength to complete the king's mission.
You command and I obey. You shall have the bread.
I'm also in great need of some sort of weapon. The king's business is so urgent that I failed to bring with me my sword or spear. Do you have a sword or a spear?
The sword of Goliath, the Philistine you killed, is here. Behold, it is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take it, take it, for there is none but that here.
There's no sword better than that one. I'll take it.
Why, how do you do, Your Highness Prince David? Imagine seeing you here, especially without the usual royal retinue. Oh, excuse me, Ahimelech, Your Grace. I didn't know you were busy. I'll come back later. Good day, Your Highness.
Who is that fellow?
His name is Doeg. He's one of King Saul's chief shepherds.
Acts like a spy to me. I'd better get going on my way, on that secret errand for the king. Good day to you, Your Grace, and thank you.
If you don't mind my saying it, Your Grace, I think David is lying.
David? Lying? Oh, I don't think he would lie.
Well, there's something wrong. He didn't act very much like a prince on an errand for his king, more like a fugitive from justice.
Well, if David is lying, it will undoubtedly bring much evil and sorrow to himself and others.
And David fled from Saul to the city of Gath. Now Gath was the capital city of the Philistines. It was populated with the remnants of the Anakim, men of great stature, the giant Goliath having been but one of them. At last, after long hours of traveling by foot, over hills and through valleys, the weary and trial-burdened David approaches the palace gate of the Philistine king.
Halt there! Where do you think you're going?
Sir, I've come on an urgent matter. I wish an audience with the king, King Achish.
And just who are you?
I'm called David, sir.
David, huh? You're an Israelite, I believe.
Yes, sir, from the tribe of Benjamin.
You've come here as a spy to discover our strength.
No, sir, I didn't. It's exactly the opposite of that. The king, King Saul, and
David, David, that has a familiar ring.
I know who that man is. He's the one who fought our champion Goliath and killed him.
That's right, and he's slated to be the next king of Israel.
Did not the women of Israel after our defeat dance before this man and sing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands?
Quickly the word is carried to King Achish of the tumult at the palace gate because of the appearance of the man David who has come to see him. Now when David heard the words of the king's servants, he was much afraid and changed his behavior, pretending that he was a crazy or an insane person.
Quiet! Quiet, everyone! Quiet! King Achish, mighty king of Philistia, approaches the palace gate.
What is the meaning of all this commotion and uproar?
Your Majesty, this man approached the palace gate a little while ago requesting to gain an audience with my king. But I, O king, along with several others of your most trusted servants, recognized him. He is none other than the man who slew our champion Goliath. And he used to be the next king of Israel.
So you are David, the next king of Israel.
Who, me? King of Israel, me?
Aren't you?
Me, king of Israel. Oh, they say I'm not smart enough to drive an ox. King of Israel.
He's beating his head against the wall.
I'd make a good king, I would. Well, I'd put everyone in prison.
He's mad. Crazy!
That's what everyone says about me. But I'm not crazy.
Get him out of here. He's mad. Take him to the city gate and drive him out.
Yes, Your Majesty. Come with me, sir.
Who, me?
Yes. Yes, sir. Come with me, sir.
David departed and escaped to the cave of Adullam. David had made two mistakes. He had lied to Ahimelech, then unwisely sought refuge among the enemies of Israel instead of seeking counsel of God for protection. Sometime later, after having had time to think about his error and God's goodness in forgiving him, he wrote the 34th Psalm.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.